Merry Christmas. We just heard the first verses of John's Gospel. Here's another translation. In the origin, there was the Logos, and the Logos was face to face with God, and the Logos was God. In him was life, and this life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not conquer it. The word logos comes from Greek. It's a mystical concept about the divine reason that infuses the universe, giving it form and meaning. And this infinite creativity communes with God and is God and becomes flesh and dwells among us. Or more literally, the Logos pitched a tent among us, entering the web of humanity and changing the world forever. This is our cosmic narrative of the babe in the manger, and it is our fundamental truth as Christians. The Logos, the light of all people, shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Shines, present tense. I've been thinking a lot about darkness and light this week. In a conversation with a friend, she mentioned that she suffers from seasonal affective disorder and that the fall was difficult for her as each day dusk happened earlier, minute by minute. But then she added, "It's better now." This was like the 26th. She said, "It's better now, knowing that the days are getting longer, even though I can't see the difference yet, really helps." For almost all of human history, people's lives were completely ordered by the natural rhythms of dawn and dusk, sun and moon, seasons of cold and dark, followed by seasons of warmth and light. There was no moderating the darkness of night with any kind of consistency or broad application until about 200 years ago. So our ancestors knew night and darkness in a way that we can only imagine. We try to when we're in the wilderness or when there's a power outage. But in the dark of night, we are acutely aware of our lack of sight. We lose our bearings, we stumble over familiar surroundings, and we doubt our intuition. Darkness can seem infinite, like an abyss or an endless sea. And we're afraid of surprise, of lurking danger, of fantastical creatures that seem credible in the night. And this time of year, when the nights are longest and the earth is cold and barren, time seems to slow down and can feel like it's gotten stuck. Prior to 350 AD, Christians celebrated the birth of Christ at different times throughout the year, some in March and April and May and November. But then Pope Julius declared that the official date was December 25th, integrating it with a Roman winter solstice festival. So this Roman birthday of the sun became the Christian birthday of God's Son. And for people whose lives were governed by the rhythms of night and day, Jesus' birth at the time of deepest darkness made tangible what John's gospel had been saying for hundreds of years, that the true light which enlightens everyone is coming into the world. So on this first Sunday of Christmas, we celebrate the inbreaking of the light of Christ, that light that restores vision and warms hearts and illumines hidden places and brings new life out of barrenness. We sing glory to God in the highest and good Christian friends rejoice. We relish that our time of waiting is over, and the gifts of God as known through Jesus have become our inheritance too. These 12 days of Christmas are profound and awestruck joy. And the symbols of darkness and light are so ingrained in the meaning of Christmas that it's good to look at them a little bit more. Because the power of symbols is they have so many layers of meaning, some that are even unconscious to us. And it can be like an iceberg where all we see is what's right in front of us, and we don't see what's under the water. Our gospel today proclaims, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." A more literal translation is, "The darkness did not conquer it." And there is good news here for sure, which is that sure conviction that nothing can separate us from the light, from the love of God. Nothing. And that is profoundly good news. There's also a tension, though, a sense of struggle between darkness and light. And that can quickly give way to a dualism that light is good and darkness is bad. And while that makes great storytelling in Star Wars, it can be profoundly harmful. I want to name two ways that that can be so. The first is particular to our time in this country that has so much work to do in acknowledging and dismantling racism and repairing the harm caused to people of color. When we allow the Christian story to be shorthanded as victory of good light over the evil darkness, we are only a step away from whiteness equaling holiness and blackness equaling sin and brokenness. It is one way white superiority can be communicated in our tradition, and it causes grave harm to our brothers and sisters of color. So if we truly intend to respect the dignity of every human being, we need to grapple with our habits of speech and symbol and be willing to change. I'm not suggesting we eliminate this imagery of light and darkness, but that we name its context more fully and that we flesh out other images too. Hope fulfilled at Christmas. And a God who offers God's self completely to the world, clothed in vulnerability. The second way our symbols of light and darkness can cause harm goes to the heart of what it means to be human. Physical and metaphorical darkness, times of not seeing or feeling lost, these are unavoidable in life. We know that. We cannot be vulnerable, learn to love, grow into our truest, deepest selves without experiencing grief and confusion and emptiness. And when we try to excise those experiences, to rush past them, to force ourselves into seeing only light, we hurt ourselves and others. Because what appears to be absence and obscurity may actually point to a luminosity, a presence, a fullness of being that is particular to the domain of darkness. Darkness is where transformation, growth, and healing happens. It is where we dream. It is where we rest our bodies and connect with each other. There are more babies conceived in December than any other time of the year. And darkness bookends our life. We enter life in darkness, and we let go into what is next by closing our eyes to the light of this existence. Darkness is of God and can never be bad. It is the seedbed of life. In his poem, The Night, Henry Vaughan writes, "There is in God, some say, a deep and dazzling darkness." And so today we proclaim the good news. The Logos, the light of all people, shines in this darkness. From the indwelling of light and darkness, the Word became flesh and lives among us still, full of grace and truth. Amen.